Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye, Rose, is the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. Joining me now, I have Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola. You can listen to him at 4 o'clock on Saturdays and when there's not a conflict with FSU football here on News Radio. And also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And there is, in fact, a conflict with FSU football this weekend.
Well, we get football, but we don't get you, which is a sad trade for those of us who like you. Coyote versus Acme, the movie that you had been very eager to see, the movie that I hope is as good as the premise would allow. And?
Yeah, so a little bit of backstory here. This is one of the movies that, along with Batgirl and Scoob Holiday Haunt, I believe is the correct title, that Warner Brothers was trying to kill for a tax write-off. In fact, they did kill a couple of these films, and but there was a lot of outcry about this one because everybody that involved and everybody that had seen it said it's a really good movie. They eventually finally sold it to this other distributor called Ketchup Entertainment that also distributed another Looney Tunes film last year that was also very good. And this is, in fact, very good. It is a live-action animation hybrid, and it has to do with Wile E. Coyote suing Acme for all of the terrible products they've sold to him over the years that have caused him great grievous injury.
Oh, that's a great premise.
Pursuits of the Roadrunner. Yeah, really fun movie. Live-action cast includes Will Forte and Lana Condor and John Cena playing a villain role, which he doesn't usually do very often anymore. But this was, again, filmed like 3 or 4 years ago, too.
Okay.
A lot of times you hear a movie's been sitting on the shelf for 3 or 4 years. It's not that good. This is a good movie. It is very funny. If you like Looney Tunes, you're going to really like it. If you just like a good, funny movie that the whole family can enjoy, this is a great one for everybody. The reviews are outstanding. I do think the reviews are being colored a little bit by the politics of Warner Brothers tried to kill this.
Yeah, sure.
But it's still, you know, like unreservedly recommend this film.
Outstanding. Yeah, you're right. You know, movies that sit on the shelf often do it for the right reasons. This is one that was doing it for the wrong reasons. So I appreciate that. And Will Forte is always very funny. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. All right, Buddy.
Yeah, so imagine that Barney the dinosaur, Barney, not like, you know, Barney Rubble or anything, Barney the dinosaur. Imagine Barney the dinosaur was evil. So, a documentary.
Right, exactly.
So this is from the guy that brought us the now legendary viral short Too Many Cooks that was done for Adult Swim. So it's this surrealist comedy horror thing.
Okay.
Where these kids are trapped in this world with this orange unicorn character that is very clearly meant to be Barney, but
right.
It's, you know, different. And bad stuff keeps happening. And it's really funny. It is not for everybody, but if you saw Too Many Cooks and you liked it, and the filmmaker also did a film called Mandy a couple of years ago that was quite a big hit in certain circles too. You're really going to like this. Kristen Milioti is probably the main name in this.
Okay.
I really love this film. It's not going to be for everybody. Made for an interesting double feature with Coyote versus Acme. There's some kind of weird thread there that kind of works somehow in seeing these two movies together. But definitely, if you're taking your kids to Coyote versus Acme, don't take them to Buddy.
Got it. That makes all the sense in the world. The dog stars?
This is a movie that I was kind of hyped on. Ridley Scott directing, great cast featuring Josh Brolin and Margaret Qualley and Jacob Elordi.
Guy Pearce, I think, right?
Based on this post-apocalyptic, kind of like a post-COVID type of an apocalypse. There's like a disease apocalypse.
Okay.
That has happened. But apparently, you put all those things together, it doesn't work out so well. Not really great reviews on this.
Idiots?
Dave Franco and O'Shea Jackson Jr. get hired to chaperone this this rich kid, and hilarity ensues. Decent reviews on this.
Okay. We got a lot, and we're not going to get to all of them today, but unfortunately. Was it Finding Emily?
Yeah, really good reviews on this one. This is about a young musician who is given the wrong number for his dream girl, and he ends up connecting with this this young psychology student played by Angourie Rice, great young actress, and they go on this quest to together to search the college campus to find this girl.
Oh, well, that sounds kind of entertaining. It Ends?
Yeah, rom-com.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, It Ends is a horror movie, kind of like a Twilight Zone-esque thing. These three young guys are getting ready to go off to their separate ways. They're having their last hangout. They're driving down this long forest road, and the road does not end. And yeah, so it's kind of a high concept thing. Really good reviews on this one as well.
All right, it actually kind of sounds like Jerry, which was one of the worst movies I ever saw. There's also Beyond Belief, Legend of the White Dragon, and the Terminator 2 re-release. You can never see that movie enough times.
Yeah, I agree. That's just an all-time classic.
It is a fantastic movie. Julio Diaz hosts Let's Go Pensacola, not tomorrow because of FSU, but generally on Saturdays at 4 o'clock, and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. You know what you're going to watch next week?
We're getting a reissue of the legendary anime film Akira, which is kind of like the birth of anime.
Yeah, I love Akira. It's a great film. Okay.
We're probably looking at seeing that.
Fantastic. All right, Julio, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
That's actually one. I might go watch that because I, you know, I don't think I saw it in the theater when it first came out. Let's see. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash I-10 eastbound just after State Road 87 in Milton. Use caution there. Also have a vehicle crash Mobile Highway at Edison Drive. I'm PJ with traffic on the fives.
What did the log cabin Republicans do to get canceled? Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service.
Sportsman's Night Out is back September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center featuring bass fishing legend Hank Parker. Tickets are only $10 and can win you prizes like hunting trips, weapons, a brand new camper, a tractor, four-wheeler, a brand new car, and so much more. Brought to you by partners like Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Benton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church. For more information, visit sportsmansnightout.com. That's Sportsman's Night Out September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. Purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
Curbside recycling in the city of Pensacola is important to preserve the environment and keep the city clean. But people have many questions. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Monday morning at 9 to hear John Scanlon and Nathan Doyle with City of Pensacola Sanitation discuss the City of Pensacola recycling program on Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the Log Cabin Republicans for their complete abandonment of the fundamental unity of our movement and rejection of the holy acronym string. President Ross Heminger explained in a column that after having approved the inclusion of transgender T in their agenda in 2015, the pro-gay but conservative organization has now dropped the T and will focus only on what they blasphemously call LGB issues. He claims the hard-won political and cultural momentum that earned in the last few decades for rainbow people everywhere is being lost because of too much focus on transgender rights for children. He says this is because Americans are not comfortable with gender-affirming care for minors, transgender athletes in girls' sports, and what he calls the teaching of radical gender ideology in schools. He says Log Cabin's work on marriage, adoption, military service, and non-discrimination means they need to refocus on their core values of equal protection, limited government, and individual freedom. Where to begin? First, it is most definitely not up to any individual or organization to decide for itself which letters to include in our identity politics. How dare they pretend they have the power to exclude the T's? Only the International Hexilateral Standing Conclave on Preservation and Expansion of the Holy Acronym String, Third Formulation, has the plenipotentiary power to amend the sacred letters. And in this case, the conclave has adamantly declared that low T people are still T people indeed. But all this really does is prove what we've always known. The Log Cabin Republicans were not really allies in our cause anyhow. For them to claim that LGB issues can be supported separately from the full range of the woke agenda is fundamentally wrong. So it comes as no surprise that a group who has abandoned the core goals of larger government, groupthink, communal decision-making, climate alarmism, gender anarchy, and hatred of guns, police, and the military would commit heresies around marginalized sexual identities as well. They went out from among us because they were never of us. And nothing proves that more than the refusal to use the correct and approved terminology when talking about our issue of concern. Heminger has the audacity to refer to gender-affirming care for minors as gender reassignment treatments, implying that genital reimagination surgeries are a change of gender rather than the fulfillment of it. He refers to transgender women as biological men, a hateful term from the right that stings with its reminder of the painful fact that trans women's bodies are mislabeled at the genetic level. Carrying a very hurtful XY chromosome stamp, branding them as men when their XX hearts know the real truth. Of course, that's a metaphorical heart, since the actual hearts still say XY in every cell. So let us reaffirm our commitment to the full range of MMIWG2S LGBTQQIA+ people. We include everyone, because our diversity is our unity. Long may the holy acronym string live and grow, never to wither and reduce. And remember, all the letters are equal, even though some are more equal than others. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Target stores for temporarily selling a children's Halloween costume that was obviously an all-too-painful example of blackface and minstrel show imagery. The outfit, titled Kids Glow Under Blacklight Circus Clown Halloween Costume, featured an absurdly jester-like orange and black fabric pattern of diamonds and jagged stripes, which on its own might not have raised our highly oversensitive eyebrows. But the absurdly tiny bowler hat and giant toothy grinning face mask with overly plump lips was the final straw for this white supremacy couture costume, especially since the model used for the picture in the listing was a little black boy. Now look, although Target has made a few blunders in recent memory, mostly by backing off of a full commitment to the DEI gospel of the Church of Eternal Wokeness, they still have been one of our most faithful corporate partners, essentially being the first church of consumerism for liberal white women everywhere. They even offer VIP privileges for anyone named Karen, free of charge. So the fact that they marketed this horrid costume was bad, but the nearly immediate reversal, removal, and apology was very repentant. Their press release stated, "As a company, we know we got this wrong, and we are deeply sorry." You see, the proof that a person or an organization has submitted to the dominion of our wise and loving thought control is not that they always get it right, but that they're so scared that when they do get it wrong, they immediately correct the mistake. The rest of the apology is the proof they've been completely cowed into submission, writing, "The costume is offensive and should never have been part of our assortment. It is no longer available for sale. We know this is especially hurtful for our black guests, team members, and partners. Removing the costume is an important first step, and the company is looking closely at how this happened and what needs to change to ensure this won't happen again. See, the only thing more that Target could have done would be to start a philanthropic fund for the education of misguided white people, or men. But now that this is behind us, we have some suggestions for other areas of improvement Target might want to consider to bolster their affirmation as the retailer of choice for female wokelings everywhere. Naturally, they should start by changing their name and logo, since Target and the bullseye are evocative of the use of ranged weaponry like crossbows and firearms, which, even if they aren't specifically triggering to someone, apologies for use of trigger, they still affirm the culture of gun violence we abhor. Some easy ideas might preserve the red and white color scheme, then could include, say, calling it Friendship Store, the store with a heart logo, Candy with a striped cane, or perhaps Love with a red and white rose. Although we do stand with our friends at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Foliage, PETFA, in their concern that roses should not be slaughtered merely for human romantic entertainment. And if Target really wanted to be bold, they could pivot entirely and go with the name Inclusion Store and switch to rainbow iconography. Although it's good that Target encourages its employees to display their preferred pronouns on their name tags, it would be even better if every customer entering the store could be asked to wear, say, a sticker, one that displays either their own pronouns or else states their affirmation of the importance of pronoun liberation in general. On a more structural level, Target could easily do something impressive and embrace income-based dynamic pricing, an adaptive retail justice system that charges lower-income earners a substantially reduced price and higher-income earners an inflated price. This would facilitate the instantaneous redistribution of wealth and give the overcharged the joy of knowing they are subsidizing their fellow comrade consumers right there and then. If these seem too large, Target could start small by making a decisive effort to decolonize the stationery department by deprivileging white paper and replacing it with brown and black paper instead. Standard white paper is most certainly the parchment of the patriarchy. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's Saul Alinsky Award for Misdirection in the Pursuit of Cultural Revolution goes to our dear friends at the Washington Post, who tried valiantly to make sociological hay out of the passing of country music icon Dolly Parton. As you well know, Dolly herself for decades refused to engage in politics or even declare her own, claiming she was just an entertainer. But that deliberate and frustrating neutrality did not hinder the Post's clever propagandists from finding a way to capitalize on the national attention to her life and passing. In a column titled, Why It Matters That Dolly Parton Wasn't a Mother, the editorial board said that Dolly Parton's lack of children demonstrated that the world could, in fact, love a woman who wasn't a mother. But more importantly, she was proof that a person could be an advocate for children while personally choosing against parenting. Oh, dear Otherin, this is such a delightful fabrication that we are just flush with the afterglow of a good doublespeak. As Longenheimer's fourth postulate on cultural manipulation teaches us, never let a major cultural moment go to waste. Use everything to your advantage, even if you must lie. After all, lying is often the best way to tell the truth. Of course, many of you know that Dolly did not choose against parenting at all, sadly, but was in fact infertile after having a hysterectomy due to endometriosis discovered after she and her longtime husband had tried repeatedly to conceive, but failed. So far from deliberately avoiding motherhood, Dolly had tried very actively to get pregnant and could not. But why would the Washington Post ever let a fact get in the way of publishing a wondrous lie? As you all know, 15th wave feminism has finally settled on the view that becoming a mother is the least important expression of womanhood, even though it is truly the one thing that men simply can't do. Therefore, normalizing the anti-reproductive paradigm has been a key element of our dogma for decades, sanctified through our practice of the five holy sexual sacraments of premarital sex, contraception, abortion, tubal ligation, and vasectomy. These tools are the weapons we use to undermine the traditional Christian worldview of monogamy for the purpose of being fruitful and multiplying. So well done, Washington Post. Even though you got scorched online for the framing of a story that so completely abandons any pretense of being factual, you stood strong for our movement and our goals. You have advanced the cause of unbreeding everywhere. Little did anyone know that passing of the Queen of Country was an event pregnant with such a massive lie. But you found it. You ran with it, and you published it without batting one little fake eyelash of a conscience. St. Orwell himself would be very proud of you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I guess we won't be producing any white papers anytime soon. All right, PJ has traffic for us. PJ?
All right, taking a look at the big board, there is a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, just after State Road 87 near Milton. Use caution. I'm PJ through traffic on the 5.
Why can't you call it a black paper? Let's see. Steve is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, jury deliberations continue today in the Lindsay Clancy triple murder trial in Massachusetts. She admits to strangling her three young children in 2023, but pleaded not guilty on account of postpartum psychotic break. President Trump will not be in Manhattan for the upcoming 25th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Multiple sources tell the New York Times that Trump opted out of the ceremony because he will not be permitted to deliver remarks. Instead, he's going to be at the 9/11 Pentagon event, and that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate it. Coming up next, we have The Wrap. We got Walker Wilson and Jonathan Owens here in studio with me. We may talk about some of the news of the week. You never know what we might talk about. We have a lot of stuff on the potentiality agenda. I don't know. Lake America? Lake Ontario? We'll see. It should be interesting. Stick around.
News. I'm Tom Graham. More than 530 now confirmed dead following catastrophic flooding in the Himalayan mountains along the Nepal-China border. Fox's Stephanie Bennett.
Scientists say a glacier collapse triggered the disaster, sending an avalanche of ice, rock, and debris downstream. At least 93,000 people have been affected, according to the Red Cross.
The number of killed is expected to rise. President Trump holding a fundraiser in Texas as he throws his support behind Republican Senate candidate Ken Paxton, who's in a tight race with Democrat James Tallarico. President is expected to ramp up his campaign schedule as the November midterms near.
We are hearing some whispers of a ton of Trump travel in October, possibly as much as a Trump rally a day in the most competitive states and districts.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 right now, 75 degrees and partly sunny. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. It was a historic game last night.
Salukis with 13 seconds remaining in regulation. They trail by three. Here comes the pressure. Curry looking downfield, throws the ball downfield. It'll be intercepted! Going the other way. It doesn't matter, but he's still taking it all the way down the field. Tackled at the 18-yard line. Time is expired. Is it over? Is it over? The Argos make a statement in their opening night in Division One. An unbelievable surprise for all the faithful following the Argos to D1 and a 34-31 final. The Argos beat the Salukis in their opening Division One game and opened the 26th season with a stunning win.
That was Brian Prowitz and Jordan Glass doing the play-by-play on our sister station, Sports Radio Pensacola, as the Argos beat 16th-ranked Southern Illinois 34-31 last night at Penn Air Stadium in their first game in Division One. The next game for the Argos is September 5th at Central Arkansas. Kickoff for that game is at 6 p.m. And, of course, you can hear it live on our sister station, Sports Radio Pensacola. A late-night comedy sketch triggered a political ban in Florida's panhandle. Natalie Rodriguez is reporting. Well, we'll have that report in a minute, but it looks like the Paraheads are rejoicing right now because there is a Jimmy Buffett event headed your way. Chris Bryant says it's okay to wear your fins.
Well, it's got to be 5 o'clock somewhere. So goes the iconic Jimmy Buffett song. Now the National Maritime Museum of the Gulf will debut the Jimmy Buffett Son of a Sailor Experience, a first-of-its-kind exhibit in Mobile. The exhibit features more than 130 artifacts, many never seen before, along with never-before-seen concert footage and photos. The exhibit's grand opening set for the weekend of September 12th and 13th. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Well, looks like a really nice weekend is ahead of us after all this rain. Let's see what will happen with the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have some wet weather as we go through your day today. 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Saturday, 40% chance of rain, high near 89. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into your Sunday, high near 90 degrees with a 50% chance of rain. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from your First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 77 degrees in Pensacola. It's 76 in Gulf Breeze and 77 in Milton at 8:35. Right now, let's check in with PJ for traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Steve. No problems or delays to report. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. If you're on US 98, east and westbound through Navarre, that's looking good as well. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. And right now, let's check out what's happening on Wall Street. This is Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. Well, the markets are going to be, watching as Federal Reserve Chairman Kevin Warsh is going to speak today. Warsh is going to deliver a keynote speech at the Central Bank's Symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. His predecessors have used that event to discuss broad policy initiatives and lay out conditions under which the Fed would adjust interest rates. But Warsh has signaled a more hands-off approach while placing a greater emphasis on market direction when it comes to the policy so far. Well, at the opening bell, the Dow Jones average is at 53,682, down 0.21%. S&P 500 at 7,738. It looks like it's up 0.10%. NASDAQ is in negative territory. It's 26,537, just down basically less than 0.1%. And I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
You're the co-chair of this political party.
But that excites the minions when they hear that. Oh, tax the millionaires.
Well, it sounds good, and then I get free stuff. Yay!
Yeah, but nothing is free, man.
That's when being an adult really is a challenge, huh?
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, the hip, the hip, the hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later, then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It means it's a chance to talk through the events and news of the week or whatever comes up with a couple of friends here in studio with me today. I have Walker Wilson, the executive director for the Downtown Improvement Board. If you like what's going on downtown, then credit the mayor. And if you don't like it, then you can blame Walker.
There you go.
Isn't that
sounds good. Sounds about right.
I think that's right. And also Jonathan Owens, longtime friend who was at one time the chief of staff for Doug Underhill when he was in office. And of course, he ran for office unsuccessfully, I would say. Sadly, unsuccessfully. But COVID killed your campaign.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you're probably better off not being in that arena. I don't know.
Oh, you know.
Anyway, what do y'all want to talk about? You know, I thought this, you were here when I was talking about the Petronas stuff.
Yep.
With criticizing Jelly Roll and saying, you know, don't come around here no more, which I said was silly. I'll talk with Jimmy about this on Monday. But it kind of wandered into the conversation about a very routine political consideration, which is, should you be generous, nice, butter up, kiss butt to people who have power to help you and hurt you? Or should you, you know, say what you want to say and let the chips fall where they may? I mean, you know, you worked with a guy who was willing to say whatever he wanted to say, and it got him a lot of 4-1 votes.
Unfiltered.
Yeah. And I love Doug. Doug's one of the smartest people I know, and I don't know that Doug ever said anything that I consider to be false, but he said a lot of things that were true and ineffective. And so that's the trade-off. You know, do you want Jimmy Petronas to criticize Trump, or do you want Jimmy Petronas to be buds with the guy who can do a lot of favors for our area? You know, we know, I mentioned the example of like DeSantis. Alex Andrade spoke truth to power to the attorney general's office and the governor. And guess what? We lost projects because of that, because that's who they are. So, you know, what's the better approach?
Well, to reference Alex speaking about a topic that's, you know, germane to taxpayer dollars is one thing, but talking about
chair of the committee that did not get informed about the fraud. Yeah,
a whole different ball game than talking about, you know, someone making jokes on a comedy show.
Yeah.
a late night comedy show about the president.
Well, and filing the bill to rename Lake Ontario.
Okay, yeah, we'll get there. Let me get there.
Give it a second. All right, go on.
It was a joke. It's a comedy show. I mean, you are a public figure. You are subjected to comedy. You're subjected to people's opinions, and for.
It's a very American thing to make fun of politicians.
It is. And then for another elected official to, you know, I don't even want to see his tour bus drive down Interstate 10. You're not welcome in the panhandle. Well, I mean, you know, that's not very representative-like. That's not each statesman-like. I mean, and kissing up to Trump, you know, a lot of people kiss up to Trump. You can also not kiss up to Trump. You can just keep your mouth shut and just let it roll off. Giving someone airtime on something that you disagree with, you're still giving that person airtime. I mean, you're drawing more attention to Jelly Roll and him criticizing, you know, just for what, clicks and likes? I mean, it's not. I mean, I think Jimmy could have just kept his mouth shut, let it go. Now, Lake of America.
Well, hold on. Okay, but as a principal, what's the strategy? I mean, you know, as a principal, is the better strategy to get along to get things done? Right. Or is the better strategy to, you know, I've often said I couldn't run for office because I can't keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, it's a prime example of, like, what I feel I'm frustrated with at national politics, and maybe many of Americans too, is you got a congressman obviously playing the game of placating the Trump for favors, which in turn it could be beneficial for our area, right?
Sure.
A good thing. But on the other hand, it's like you're just saying something for clicks and likes and to get a reaction, and that's very aggravating on the other hand. So it's a weird game, politics, and it happens on both sides of the aisle. So I don't want to, you know, say that.
It happens to be Jimmy today.
Correct, yeah.
Right.
But I think this is, it's a prime example of what is ever so frustrating with national politics and Congress. So
Don't you just, you want to believe better about our country. You know, you want...
Is this how we make things happen?
Yeah, you want to believe we live in a land. My problem is I'm a naive idealist, and I have internalized the idea that we should be tolerant of others. We should welcome dissent. We should celebrate disagreement and the sharing of ideas. That we should do our best to be gracious and, you know, generous and also honest. And, you know, apparently, a pretty large sector of the electorate doesn't agree with me because, you know, we've elected people who do not represent that. And that's frustrating. But, you know, is that I'm stupid and don't play that game? Or is that I'm dumb and naive? Or, you know, am I right? I don't know. It's you know, people like to listen to this show who also vote for Trump. I mean, I voted for Trump, but, you know, anyway. You were going to say Lake of America, I think.
Yeah. Well, one more thing about Jimmy making comments about Jelly Roll. He's an election, right? He's in a race.
Sure.
You can't make someone like you more than they already like you, but you can give someone a reason to not like you.
Yeah.
And Walker and I both know, and we're all surrounded in politics daily. People look for a reason not to vote for you.
Mm.
Don't give them a reason not to vote for you. And what that did, what Jimmy did, was it gave Gay Vallimont, his opponent in the general coming up, an opportunity to invite Jelly Roll here.
Right.
So if Gay is successful in throwing a concert, because that's what she did in her last special. Mm. She had a concert here. If she pulls off a Jelly Roll concert here, do you think that's going to be beneficial to her campaign? 100%, it's going to be beneficial to her campaign. And Jimmy might not have the opportunity to kiss up to Trump anymore. I mean, because Scambia County in that special.
It's a safe district. Nothing can ever be assumed to be perfectly safe because when turnout is so low, turnout can make a big difference.
Right.
She's using it to her advantage. You know, he may lose advantage over it, whatever. It was an unforced error, you know, so to speak, an unnecessary thing. Walker, you're going to say something?
Yeah, I just think to Jonathan's point, too, is, you know, giving the other side of the opponents, you know, something to take advantage of. And I think you're going to see smaller margins in elections in Florida this year just because it's an open governor's seat. You've got David Jolly that's putting a lot of money and really running a good campaign from what I can see from the outside looking in.
And a former Republican constituency.
Right. And with Byron Donalds. And so I think you're going to see turnout much higher on the Democratic side than we have in the past, in past years.
Yeah, no, it's a, it, 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 I don't know. It, Anyway, it's an interesting choice. I'll put it that way. Yeah. But yeah, you know, you can certainly imagine a circumstance where she can make it more productive for her. And, you know, how many people are paying attention to Gay Valamont? Yeah, right, indigenously. Well, you've given her the opportunity to be the other side of the coin, to be the reasonable sounding one. And, you know, that's, of course, what she's counting on. Mm-hmm. And it's being facilitated by the media reporting on this story, which, by the way, is a national story. You may be surprised to know. I saw the Jimmy Patronis versus Jelly Roll story on several news sites nationally yesterday when I was doing my show prep for today. So this is not just a local thing. This has become a national. Now, it's a national story for 10 minutes, but it's a national story.
Right.
Lake of America.
Wow. Trump, I heard an interview the other day. I don't remember exactly who it was, but someone made the comment about Trump being very good at creating a distraction to take focus away from other things that he's not doing well. And I think...
Like a war?
Like, I don't know. Fuel prices.
Fuel prices.
Inflation. War.
Cost of living.
Cost of living.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those. And there's more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really? Out of nowhere, we're just going to rename Lake Ontario.
Well... Unless they become the 51st state.
How about we focus on the problems at hand instead of about maybe the 51st state? I mean, Puerto Rico's not even a state.
Well, that's true.
It is a U.S. territory. I mean,
and he probably doesn't want that one to become a state. But, you know, it is obviously a distraction. What I am, you were talking a moment ago, you know, here we are, I'm discouraged by the... I'm discouraged to see what is a completely predictable thing is people texting me explaining why this is smart. Not that they really agree with calling it, but that they think, you know, Trump is just provoking his opponents into saying stupid things. He's amping up the Trump derangement syndrome, folks. I'm like, yeah, that's not good. That's not normal. That's not how a decent person behaves. And it makes it, every time it happens, it makes it harder and harder for somebody like me to say, well, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But I support a lot of the policies. Walker?
Right. Well, I think what we're going to do downtown...
Oh, actually,
I'm sorry.
Hold on just a second. Let's do traffic on the fives. I'm late to it. Go ahead, PJ.
I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Walker, you were going
to
say?
We're going to go ahead and rename the Palafox Market to America's Market.
Absolutely.
So we'll probably go ahead. We'll see if we can get that tacked onto Jimmy's
the
bill.
The Market of America. Market of America.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Yeah.
I'm glad we worked this out.
Well, it's located right next to the Gulf of America.
Right. This is where America started.
Right.
In Pensacola. So.
Right. Yes. Where America started and, you know, America's first and foremost. And,
that's right.
Or first in future, sorry. And, you know, just slightly north of what you have to assume will eventually be the American Canal.
Yeah.
Which is...
Oh, the intercoastal. Yeah.
In the center. Yeah. No. The one in Panama.
Oh, yes. Panama. Oh, yeah, the American
we
Canal.
We built
because
it.
We did.
Our people died making it happen. We funded
Jimmy
it.
Carter just
it's
gave
in
it
the
away.
Americas. Why should it be called the Panama Canal? That's literally the only thing they're known for, other than that song by, you know, Van Halen. I mean, why? Sorry. The dad in me could not resist. But why not? You know,
too far.
Why not?
Too far.
You know, we could have an American club, you know, American geese. You know,
everything
should be American.
I had Canadian geese on my street yesterday.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
No, you had American geese.
I think they were down here in protest.
You had American geese.
Flew down, they were down here checking out the Gulf of America.
Switching gears, thankfully. oh, man.
This is your show, buddy.
No, Walker. Okay, the bathrooms.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, just...
Only blocks
you're,
from
you're closer
Market
to
America.
This that's because right. you have... A bathroom that's been installed, one of the Portland Loos at the Martin Luther King Plaza, because you are the organization that superintends the Palafox Market.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So getting a bathroom there was a big win. There's been a lot of controversy around that, whether it's open to people, Michael Kimbrell, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you have one, and you have one.
And it is open.
And it is usable. And the Veterans Memorial Park does not have one yet.
Right.
And they've been trying to get one longer. Mm-hmm. But there are two sort of usable stalls coming not that far in the distant future. You had thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like, at least my personal experience, it takes forever to get a bathroom up and
why
out.
Why is
I don't
that?
Know. I mean, we did have issues with...
Roger Scott Poole, $1 million for bathrooms.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and when we were looking at it, we were going to have two facilities at the north end of the Palafox Market on two of the separate blocks of south.
Oh, okay. Makes
block.
Sense. Yeah.
And we were going to build structures and then administration changed, wanted to switch gears, went to the Portland Loos, which are more expensive per toilet, I will say, than what we were going to do before.
About 300 grand in my head?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
And so we put one in. We are supposed to get another one. We had looked at putting one down at Plaza Ferdinand because by the time that came to fruition, we were now open in the south end of the Palafox market. And so I don't know kind of where we're at in that process of getting something down that way as well. But, you know, we've got two Portland Loos sitting under I-110 right now as we speak.
Not in use.
Not in use.
Not installed. Yeah. Okay.
Veterans Memorial Park, the council didn't like the design that was put out there. It looks very similar to what we had drawn up originally when we were starting, which didn't like it.
Yeah. Right.
And so I don't know. I know there's a lot more that goes into it. And it's been a conversation they've been having for a long, long time. But when you got veterans going out there having events, you've got kids taking field trips, they don't have anywhere to go to the bathroom. That is an issue, and it feels like an easy win that we could go ahead and get knocked out.
Am I weird for thinking that Jackson Square, the aesthetic of Jackson Square, doesn't match well with almost any public bathroom design that I can imagine?
Yeah.
I get the value of it, but I can't in my head make one go there that I would think looks right.
Yeah, Plaza Ferdinand, where the Andrew Jackson bust
yes,
is.
Yeah.
So my thought is put on the northeast corner at Government and Jefferson, where you've got a much larger sidewalk, so it's not actually inside the footprint.
Like towards Seville? Towards Seville.
Quarter.
Okay.
Yep. Because right now we've got a porta potty or two that sit out there 7 days a week.
Well, so that's worse.
Right. So that's kind of the point of, like, can we get something? We're spending $20,000 on portable restrooms a year for the market.
Wow.
Which is insane.
Okay, that's a lot, yeah. For an inferior facility that looks terrible.
Correct, that stays out there because it costs us much more for them to come pick it up and bring it back each week. We'd probably spend closer to $30,000 or $35,000 if we did that. So, they're expensive. People have a lot of opinions about them, but I think they're a necessity with all the things that we have going on in downtown to have some bathrooms for people to use.
Jonathan, you've done Government once or twice. Why can't things be cheaper?
Well, you're trying to get bathrooms, and they took out bathrooms at the beach access on Perdido Key, and now we have porta potties out there. So, I mean.
And then the bathroom facility that Bender was going to build out at Pensacola Beach got nixed when Ashley Hofberger came into office.
Yeah.
Right? Was it bath? It was changing rooms?
Changing rooms,
was it,
but yep.
Was it not also bathrooms? I can't remember now.
I can't recall if it was bathrooms or not, but I know
it was changing rooms next to the bathrooms.
Getting funding for, and then that got nixed.
Okay. Government social media pages. This was to me, a very interesting conversation. In Milton, Bethany Anderson, who is the PIO there, I love her. She's a friend. She's fantastically creative. She has built a following and an influence through Facebook that reaches well beyond the people who like the page and well beyond even Milton. And then, you know, you had Mike Cusack along with, you know, Heather Lindsay and Marilyn Farrow bring this kind of how dare you do something so fun and successful. Government pages, social media pages should be, you know, standard and boring and tell people about the water shutoffs and where they can get sandbags in an emergency. The response by, you know, her and by the city manager is, what do you think we're doing? We're making something fun that people like so that we have algorithmic reach when we need to get a message out about an emergency. We smuggle the meaningful messages in underneath all of this content so that when we need it, the reach is there because ultimately social media is advertising. But you're going to offend some people who don't have a sense of humor or don't have the right sense of humor or who have these weird ideas about what's normal on social media. So
this harkens back to when PPD had their comedy of,
Steve Davis was running the Facebook page and it was so enormously successful.
Like the Babylon Bee, right? Babylon Bee now has, I think, an alternative site that's actual news.
Not the Bee.
Not the
that's
Bee,
right.
Right? So let's do,
where,
you're trying
just
to
for
build
clarity, it's a site where it is, these are actual stories. This is actually news. So don't be confused. Don't confuse this with the satire site that we're a part of.
Right. But, I mean, they built a brand, right? And the whole idea of social media is branding, right? I mean, that's and you have to build traffic. Of course, I'm not a social media expert, but, I mean, I We use it. All of us use it. We see, we get fed what we want to eat, right? And if you are a person that pays attention to local politics in Milton, you're going to want to follow the Milton social media page or right. the downtown market or, you know, Escambia County or whatever. So I don't see what's the penalty in building the brand and driving traffic to it.
I mean, well, it's like, I mean, I make jokes. I do a lot of fun. I do satire. I do April Fool's Day posts, you know. A lot of stuff that, you know, even my demeanor in doing this show is one that a lot of people historically would have thought, well, that's just not, you know, journalism or that's not news or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but people like it. And right. it's fun. And it gets, I've taught more people what government does, how it functions, and who their elected officials are than probably anybody else has through the mechanism of being funny and exaggerating and playing the clips and making fun of people and all that kind of stuff.
News and entertainment used to be two things. Now it's infotainment, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're providing content with actual information. I mean, even the Transgressors Memorial, like you, it's all
actual news stories, right?
That's exactly right. And people like that, so.
You were going to say, Walker?
Yeah, it's like finally got, you know, people that wanted to read a government Facebook page, so we had a meeting about it to stop it.
Yeah, it was funny. One of the I think it was Casey Powell. Somebody in the meeting actually said, well, you know, the posts we make that are like, well, this road or that, you know, water service or whatever, or this in the meeting, you know, we should just have meeting announcements. Well, there's a reason you can afford to publish the meeting notices in the Scambia Sun Press or whatever. What is the name of it? I can't remember.
Scambia Sun Press. Yeah.
You know, that nobody reads, but it satisfies the legal requirement or whatever. Right. Because nobody cares. And the people who care don't need that because they're already getting it somewhere else. And those posts get, you know, three engagements versus the post about, you know, Jimothy gets, you know, 1,000 or whatever, you know. So
another good one is the Tampa International Airport is top notch.
Oh, do they have a good Facebook page?
It's hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about that one. Yeah. I'll have to go check that one out.
Very good.
I'll have to. I'm writing it down right now. All right, PJ has traffic on the fives.
No problems or delays to report. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Obviously, Dolly Parton passed this week. I mean, Tim Curry passed this week. What's the voice actor's name?
Peter Cullen.
Peter Cullen, who, you know, did the voice of Optimus Prime on Transformers and was also the voice of Eeyore.
Rollout.
Among other things. There you go. Nice. You got to have the, you know, sound effect. But so we've had a lot of stars, you know, known people pass away. But Dolly's passing.
We have a tribute to Dolly in the Elbow Room. We have a Dolly pinball game.
Oh, that's right.
We have a Dolly pinball game, and we have a big mural on the wall. It's a glass, like stained, like a painted window of an image of Dolly. And
is it in the Maryland dress?
No,
that's
no,
on the pinball. The pinball is the Maryland dress.
The pinball is the Maryland dress. Yeah, but Dolly passing, man, that just, I was really surprised at 80. 80 used to sound
she
far away.
She seemed so young.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and you never thought about her age.
That she was, you know.
I mean,
up
you
there.
Know, she didn't look like she looked 40 years ago, but she's Dolly Parton. She'll always be here.
To the Gen X kids that grew up in, you know, hearing Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers and Islands in the Stream and 9 to 5. And I was, after hearing of her passing, I was listening to Dolly Parton music and I was like, man, there was a bunch of good stuff she had.
A lot of
and
stuff just, you may not know if you weren't listening to the old country albums. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's sad, but, you know, we have two options. death and taxes, right? The two things that are guaranteed in life. So
I had one of those. Oh, my God, I failed as a parent moments. My middle son had come to me the next day, maybe, and said, or the later that night anyway, and said, who's Dolly Parton?
When she passed away, I asked someone that was close to me, proximity to me, I said, Dolly Parton passed. He's like, who's that?
Oh
my goodness.
And I told him she was, you know, 25 number one hits, massive country superstar, and he's like, oh, so she really was somebody. I'm like, yeah, she really was. He's like, they were announcing it on the radio like 15 minutes after it happened. I'm like, yeah, well, that's our job too. So, but, you know, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. So,
yeah, it is sad. And it's, I saw some people talking, I forget what news station it was, but, you know, was she the last American that would have a close to or if not 100% approval rating, right?
Right.
You really didn't have anything against. I think you touched on it earlier about Joey.
I mean,
Rollins.
Oxygen doesn't have
she always stayed away
approval rating. Dolly was on the graffiti bridge
yesterday and today.
I saw that yesterday. Yeah, very good.
I snapped that this morning on the way to dropping the kids off to school. Yeah, it's
who's going to be the proud individual that paints over that?
Mm.
That's what I always wonder. Are they doing that in the middle of the night when no one's looking?
You know somebody will. I mean, and it'll probably be some, like, you know, Jimmy was here, you know, Alan loves Lily. I mean, whatever. Yeah. You know, some stupid thing
maybe
like that.
Maybe they'll turn her into Jelly Roll.
Oh.
I didn't realize that she was Miley Cyrus's godmother.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I didn't either.
I didn't realize that. I heard that.
That's putting that together in my head. And then, are they going to change the airport, Nashville Airport?
What are they changing it to?
Dolly Parton.
They should.
It's not. NIA, Nashville International Airport.
What are we doing?
Yeah, this is. I know this should have already been done, right? Like, do it yesterday.
Lake of Dolly. What?
Yeah, Lake, Dolly Lake. I mean, there's Dollywood. We have
They're
Dolly
right,
Lake,
right?
Dolly International.
Exactly. And then the other guy that passed. Was that the guy from Home Alone 2?
Tim Curry, like, yeah.
Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But and what was he most famous for?
Home Alone 2.
No.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Legend. You know,
him passed away, Pigeon Lady passed away, and Kevin's mom from Home Alone 2.
Yeah. The straight guy is the Russian officer in Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks for the time. As always, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Walker Wilson, Jonathan Owens.
Thank you.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.